较不多。
快点一点。
Okay, I think I did it. Oh my gosh. Okay, hi guys. I don't think I even need a microphone. Okay. I do need this now. I don't know how to work it, but... Am I too quiet now? SOS. Okay. Okay, hi guys. Oh, I'm going to do this the whole time. I yell talk. Okay, so the last time I talked to you guys, we were heading back off to Costa Rica, and the first thing that we do when we get there is do like summer camps, because January is their summer. And so we started off with 2 weeks of camp, which I'm going to talk about first. And so camp week one, I kind of expected it to be pretty difficult, only because that meant that I was going to be going about 2 weeks without my official Wi-Fi times with my family, because there wasn't Wi-Fi at the camps. And I had also told them that I wasn't going to talk to them over the weekend in between the 2 weeks, so that way I wouldn't be focused on them rather than focused on the kids, and just be able to be more focused on the ministry aspect. And so I was worried about it, but turns out there were plenty of distractions at the camp. And one of those distractions was kitchen duty, which turned into us cutting onions and garlic, breakfast, lunch, dinner for a whole like 5 days. And we did that both weeks. So I cut onions and garlic for 2 weeks. My hands smell like it for about 3.5. So that was kind of disgusting. But so for the first week, it wasn't kids from our youth group. It was kids we'd never met before, which was also terribly nerve-wracking, because speaking Spanish to anyone is terrible, kind of. But also speaking Spanish to people that I've never met before who would possibly be judging my terrible Spanish was scary. But, I didn't actually start speaking Spanish with them. I avoided it until about day three. I kind of pretend like I didn't know enough to not communicate, so I used one of my other friends named Rachel to talk through me, even though I was in a higher Spanish class than her. But after I became more comfortable with talking in Spanish, it actually did become easier because they realized that I was kind of terrible at Spanish and it was okay if I messed up, and they would just help correct me or pretend like I didn't do anything wrong and just kind of guess what I was saying. And so it did become a lot easier. And since this week we didn't have a lot of responsibilities with actually running the camp, since it wasn't our youth group, we just kind of got to relax, which meant that I got a lot more Bible time and prayer time. And so I kind of went into the week thinking that, like, we were the ones pouring into the kids. We were changing their lives. But turns out the kids kind of changed, I don't know about everyone else, but kind of changed my life and our lives, I think, more than we were changing theirs. And so, anyways, with that, the more Bible time became a source of energy, kind of, because even though I wasn't pouring out necessarily biblical information in Spanish, the Spanish is very tiring for your brain, and so just being able to have the time in the Word and with God without having as many responsibilities inside the kitchen, it was helpful to be able to pour out to those kids more too. And then because of that, God started to work in my life in a way that I didn't really think He would, which I'll talk about more in a second. So then camp week two, God had already worked so much in me, in my heart, during the first camp week, that I actually disobeyed my own rules that I'd made not to call home, and I called home between week one and week two and told Mom that, don't know what's happening, but I think I was going to apply to be an intern, and I'm not really sure why, but I wanted her to talk me out of it. And she did not do that, and I was slightly disappointed in her. But, it was kind of crazy, and I talked on the phone, which we have to pay for the phone, by the way, and I kept being like, I should hang up because I don't have this kind of money. But I just couldn't stop talking because she wouldn't tell me not to. And I was like, but no, listen, Mom, I have to be here for another 9 months. I don't even like being here. Why am I signing up? Tell me not to. But she didn't. Anyways, so week two, we got there, and it was a lot easier because it was some of the kids that we work with in our weekend ministry every week. So we were a lot more comfortable. We already had relationships with them for a whole semester. And So even just the simple things that were hard the first week, like just playing games and hanging out, talking in Spanish, were a lot easier. First of all, just because we knew them, but also some of these kids know a lot more English, so it's a little bit handy and a lot less stressful. And then the top right picture, Ethan and I actually got the opportunity to do Spanish worship for camp. And we sang a lot of the same songs because we didn't really know a lot of Spanish songs. So we sang like the same four for a whole five-day camp week. But regardless, it was still a good opportunity, and that kind of started us helping with the worship team and youth group on Saturdays, mostly. No, Bible study on Sundays, mostly throughout the rest of the year. And also, again, Bible time in my prayer life was super important during this week. Because, again, while we were pouring ourselves out, we weren't really being fed except for through the Word because we were lacking our Bible classes that we'd been in for a whole semester already. And this camp week was super special because since it was the kids we were with, we got to just deepen the relationships and living with the kids for a whole week rather than just seeing them on Saturdays. There's a whole different level of knowing someone and a whole different level of trust and, yeah. And then also when I got home, well, back to the villa, I said I would never call Villa the home, but it happened anyways. But when I got back to home, after camp week two, I handed in my application to be an intern, very nervously, but I did it anyways. So, speaking of the change that God did in my life during camp week, some of the change that God did in just our group in general was really awesome. We started with a group of 20 people, 10 guys and 10 girls, which was good because it was not as overwhelming for the guys if there were too many girls and vice versa. And we came in thinking that we kind of knew everything we needed to know. Like, we kind of knew we needed to grow, but a lot of people came in, not me, but a lot of people came in just wanting to learn Spanish, or I just thought, I'd already been in Bible college for a semester, I grew up in church, I kind of knew what I needed to know, I was fine. But we were all very sadly mistaken when we got thrown in hermeneutics class, which is like the art and science of studying your Bible, with a teacher that we all thought was terrifying because he yelled at us first week and basically told us, oh, you haven't read your Bible all the way through and you pretend to know what you believe? Okay, like, let's try again. We were like, okay, sorry. So anyways, even though that was really difficult, God used the super difficult and verbal slapping to change a lot of people's lives. And eight of these people that were standing with me ended up getting saved, and eight of them got baptized throughout the year. And even though one of them, they weren't all the same eight people who got baptized and saved. It was really cool to see that. And that was one of the most important things just throughout the year to see. And one of them was my best friend, so yay. I figured out that God uses gaps in everyone's lives, regardless of whether or not you kind of think you need it. I don't know about Ethan again, but I definitely didn't really think I needed it that much, yet God still changed people. Even if we went there with our salvation, we came out still changed for good, and I didn't think that would happen. And then, this is at the end. For some reason, it looks like a lot smaller group, but we only lost one person. Not sure why it looks so small, but one kid did leave. We went home for Christmas, and he just didn't come back. And we did lose two interns, but they aren't in the picture anyways. So living with 20 other people for 9 months, well, 20 plus other people, is terribly annoying for anyone and everyone involved, like regardless of personality or gender or anything else really or what you were used to, because since there are so many different personalities, 20 other people can really get on your nerve at one time or another. But even though sometimes they're kind of annoying, almost all these people have had an impact on my life while I was during NGAP, and a lot of them made me question what I believed and what I thought to be true and how I acted and how I thought, and pushed me towards the Bible to figure out if it was true or if it wasn't. We were, even though it sounds super cliche and kind of dumb, we're a family by the end of this. A weird family where we're all the same age, but a family nonetheless. And also, we were each other's iron. And like Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpens iron. And we were doing a lot of sharpening living in the same house together. Next, this is the family that Ethan and I did ministry with. And the parents are Selva and Veronica, and they're cute kids. Really have nothing to do with ministry, but they're cute, so there they are. And I don't know if that's how you spell his name anyway, so. But they've been, yeah, is that right? Okay. They've been SCORE missionaries for about 10 years, and they led the youth group that we worked with. He wasn't technically a youth pastor, and he didn't like when we called him that because he doesn't have any sort of certificate or degree with that, but he acted just like a youth pastor would and did the same stuff that youth pastors would do here. And, yeah, we also went to their church. There wasn't a church in the community that we worked in for youth group, so the kids didn't go to church except for the Bible study that Selva did for them, but we went to the Barantes, church, Spanish-speaking church, every other Sunday when we didn't have Bible study with the kids. And then more pictures of the kids in my ministry. I showed a lot of these same kids, different pictures, in December, but they're super cute, so you get to see them again. So yeah, youth group in Costa Rica is a lot the same as youth group in the U.S., so I won't really talk about it a lot because it's the same, like, snack time, Bible time / devotional, game time. I don't even know if I said that already. And then some, like, occasional breaking off into small groups and discussing and reading certain verses and presenting to the rest of the group what you learned and stuff. So a lot of the same thing. What us Gappers did mostly was just provide snacks for the kids, which was actually really important because they didn't have a lot of food at home. And then also we were just making sure to build very intentional relationships with the kids. They have a Gap class that comes through their ministry every single year, and so they get to see kids come, build relationships, and then go every year. And so we tried to just be those people in their lives for those 9 months and be as intentional and loving and caring as we possibly could to people who don't speak our language. So technically I'm not supposed to have favorites, but I'm going to tell you my favorites anyways. The two girls in the bottom left-hand corner, those are my favorites. And I told them so. That's not relevant, but in Spanish. I told them in Spanish. Okay. And then the top left picture is not super, like, it's kind of far away, so you can't see it a bunch. But Dad took this while he was there. It's where we do ministry is an outdoor school. So it's like a, which I thought only happened on movies, actually, by the way. I didn't know outdoor schools existed, but in New York they don't because it's way too cold. But there they do. And it was a Christian school, and it was actually an elementary school. So some of the kids that we taught English to went to that elementary school and then also came there on Saturdays to learn more. But yeah, so for the ESL, the English classes, we started, I don't know if we had this first semester, but I know, but by the end of it, we had 2 different hours of English classes. And so we taught, it was supposed to be kids from 1 to 2, but their parents would come. So we taught kids with their parents in the background from 1 to 2, and then the parents from 2 to 3 with their kids in the background. So it was like the same group of people for both hours, just focused on different people, but they knew the same level of English, so it was kind of the same class twice in a row. But also our youth group came from 2 to 3 for an hour before youth group started at 3 to be taught English as well. And we ended up with so many different, like, age groups and learning levels, I guess, that actually Ethan and I ended up with our own classes of, like, 1 to 2 students occasionally. Just because, first of all, he stole people from my class because I had a class with them, and he was helping with the class, and then they didn't like me because they were 2 teenage boys, and they refused to come to English class if I was teaching them, so Ethan got them, and I got some other kid. But, the top right is just a picture of our last day with all these random little kids that some hadn't even come to English class the whole year, and they just, like, loved seeing us, and I'd never interacted with any of them. I couldn't tell you any of their names, but they absolutely adored us, and yeah, they're cute. So there's another picture again. Okay. This is a fun week. I don't have a lot to say, but I just want to show pictures. So for Parent Encounter Week, even though Alyssa's not my parent, she got to come down with my mom, and we got to show them, like, San Jose and our ministry and we went to a hot springs place, which is like a bunch of pools naturally heated by a volcano. So that was pretty cool. But some of them were kind of chilly. Anyways, so it was super encouraging for me to have family down there, and I knew I was going to be having them down again, but this one was more, even though the Lord was working in my heart, it was still super difficult for me to be down there. Not as difficult as first semester, but still difficult. And so between Camp Week 2, the end of Camp Week 2, and when they came in February, was only like 5 weeks, but it felt like an eternity. It was like the longest wait of my entire life there. But eventually they came down and got to see just what I was doing. And then same with Dad and Elijah for graduation. They got to come down also and see our ministry. And I took them to a really quick trip in San Jose. And I didn't get lost. I almost got lost with Lissa and Mom, but I was better with them. And we took them to some markets with some handmade stuff. And yeah. So for graduation, since I didn't really like being down there about half the time, I wasn't expecting to be like emotional at all. The only emotion I was expecting was like, yeah, I get to go home. But it actually was super emotional. So, sorry, folks. At the beginning of the year, I absolutely hated my life and wanted to go home every second of the day. But then at the end of the year, when it was time to actually go, I ended up crying and being emotional. But I'm an emotional person, so it's okay. And I don't necessarily think that I'll ever miss Costa Rica, the country, because I don't like sweating for 9 months. But I will miss the people, and I do already miss some of them. And yeah, they just were very impactful people for a whole 9 months. And speaking of them, I want to point out people. Bottom right-hand corner was our small group that we met with every Tuesday night. And she was one of our teachers' wives. And then also the girl with the pink, bright pink romper thing on, she was my Spanish teacher. And she got to be my Spanish teacher for the whole year, even when we switched classes, because she taught me in Spanish 1 and then moved up with us and taught Spanish 3. And that's just our last picture ever as a GAP class, so I thought you should see it. This. When people think of Costa Rica, like, you guys might not, because, like, I've told quite a few of you about, like, spiders and gross things. And I don't have a picture of an iguana, but there was an iguana that was chasing me when my brother and dad were down there. However, I do have some spiders. And that tarantula right there was caught in the room next to mine in one of the girls' rain boots. And the other roommate, who will be my roommate as an intern next year, doesn't kill spiders. And so she let it go, the tarantula, into our neighbor's lawn. And then 2 weeks later, it was back in a different shoe in their room again, and she still let it go over the fence into the neighbor's lawn. I would have thrown it onto the side of the road and smashed it or something, but there's another spider, and there's like, I'm not even sure you can see it, but that's the corner of like the walls next to my head with a lot of spider webs and dead bugs in it, and Mom kept telling me just to knock it down. But I wasn't really sure how big of a spider lived in that spider web, so I wasn't willing to take that chance. But during camp week, they knocked it down for me, the cleaning lady said. And that's a centipede that was like yay long, a half an inch tall, that my roommate used my crock to smush. And there were legs that were... Anyways, but there's also the beautiful things, like the beach and the sunset. And that bottom sunset is just on our property. Like, even though we live kind of in the city, if you look back at the girls' rooms, the sky is like, there's just a big chunk of sky, and there's always beautiful sunsets over there. And that was a waterfall that we went to. That was about half an hour away. It was part of Waterfall Gardens, but that's really expensive, so we just went to the last one that you can see. Dang, I need a drink of water. Sorry, folks. I hope you can't hear me swallow. Okay. Okay, this is just a pretty picture for you to look at that my dad took on the beach while I get to talk about what the Lord taught me. And I'm feeling as I just talked to the youth group, and I'm just going to say the same thing. So I kind of narrowed it down to two things, even though there's a lot more that the Lord taught me, especially even just biblical knowledge through Bible classes and stuff. But two things, number one, to trust him. And it sounds super simple and like something that you would think you could just learn in everyday life because there's difficult things. But for me, it took a lot more difficult things, like being like 2,000 miles away from my family. And it kind of slapped me in the face multiple times throughout the year, but I didn't really get it until, well, didn't really get it ever, still not getting it, but didn't start to get it until the beginning of the second semester when I finally applied to be an intern. So a couple of things that the Lord taught me through classes, but also my personal Bible time, was that he is our provider, and this one also slapped me in the face when I was trying to raise $11,000. It was like, I can't actually go to Costa Rica, I don't have $11,000. Then the Lord provided more than $11,000 and was like, you're still going to go there. So that was one of the things. And then also that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the fact that I was saved before I went there, but I didn't realize the depth of it, I don't think. And the fact that before I was even born, before the world was created, he was the one that was there and had already planned the redemption for us down the road. And same with the fact, again, that he is the beginning and the end, the fact that he was there before, already knew everything was going to happen, and how I was relying on myself more than the one that was the one that created me, which didn't really make sense. And so, yeah, trusting God. And then the second one, I think the more important one that I learned, was that the Lord is abundantly more important in my life than my family ever could be or will ever be. And this one took me about 7 of the 9 months to realize, or even to start to realize. And I think that I know that he is still and probably will forever be working on me in that area because I have a pretty great family. And again, being 2,000 miles away from home, being super busy, not being able to talk to them whenever I wanted to without paying to call them, really taught me that God is the only constant and the only one that I would need and the only one that I do actually have all the time. Yep. And I learned a lot more things, so I like to talk, so if you feel like coming and asking me what the Lord did, I can brag on what God taught me some more. Okay, gonna finish up. Last thing, what's next? So I'm going back to Costa Rica, crazy. I still think it's kind of crazy, but these are people that I'm gonna be with. So the guy on the left, Jordan, and then the girl on the right, Aaron, are gonna be the interns with me. So gonna be 3 of us, and then the girl in the middle with our student life director, and we'll be there again next year. And so as an intern, I'll be living in the same house, same thing. You probably know that, but just clarifying. Actually, this time I get to live in the house and not in the girls' rooms out back with way less bugs inside, so that'll be good. But also I'll have some more leadership responsibilities. I'll help lead a small group that we're part of each week, and then I'll help lead a ministry each weekend. Depending on which ministry, I might be the only leader besides a student in the ministry. And then also help do some like office stuff, grocery shopping, meal planning, weekly updates to the families, stuff like that, and a lot more stuff. Car washing. I'll probably make Jordan do that. And then the main thing is that we have to make sure that we are just doing life with and loving the students the way our interns loved us. And so we're just coming from the point where we're looking back on our gap year and seeing the things that we learned, the things we struggled with, and being able to help those students in that. And so even though I didn't think at first I'd be a very good intern, I still don't think I'll be fantastic, but the Lord knows what he's doing. But the fact that I did struggle so hard with being homesick, the other two that will be with me loved it and didn't even want to go home. So I think I'll be able to help those students who, like me, aren't necessarily probably the happiest themselves there until they decide to trust the Lord in what he's doing. And then, also as an intern, they just changed the rules this year. Like, we'll be the first class doing this. The first group of interns. We have to attend Bible classes again, all of them. And so at first I was like, how am I going to get my work done? But we have the whole 3 hours during Spanish class, and then we'll be attending Bible classes again without the homework. So that'll be us just being able to be sponges and absorbing and not having to write all the papers and doing the finals every week. And then last thing, this year I also need to raise money. Last time it was $11,000, which sounds crazy, And even though I keep saying, oh, Mom, it's only 5,000 this year, Mom says, only, but way less than 11,000. And so, yeah, I do need $5,000, $2,500 in August, and then $2,500 in December. But I know everyone can't support financially, and so more importantly, I need prayer again, because being in a different country for another 9 months, I just am not sure how that's going to work. But I could tell that the Lord was answering my prayers, and I'm assuming some of yours, so I knew a lot of you were praying for me. He wasn't necessarily answering my prayers in the way I wanted, because I wanted a plane ticket home, but he answered my prayers in a way different and way better way, like he always does. And yeah, so please pray for me. Thank you.